one companion, he requested that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the deen? What is deen? Great question. Because we all know what is deen. When a person recites the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, after reciting the kalima, the biggest thing is his deen. His deen starts his life. Even then he asked a unique question, this sahabi. On this basis that he's a companion and he's asking about the deen, that what is the deen? So in reality this question was very deep, and the one who was to respond was very high. Doesn't matter how difficult is the question, then there was nobody more than the Holy Prophet who came to this universe who gave the simple answer. He always gave the response in a simple way, because the deen is vast. And the deen could be explained, and he could have opened up the hadith. This is hadith, deen is salah, or fasting, or is hajj, or is zakat, or is this good deed, that good deed. Deen is very vast and detailed. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look how in a summarized way he gave the answer. What was the reason for this summarized answer, concise answer? So that us people, it could be easy for us to practice the deen. One is this point. And secondly, that what we ask for, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, so that we would realize then that we are traveling and following the correct deen that the Holy Prophet ﷺ told us. That's how easy he made it for us. So when he asked the question, the companion, and there were other companions there, nobody was surprised that, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, what is the deen? So the Prophet ﷺ gave a great answer, Akhlaq. Akhlaq. Everyone's quiet. Then he asked another question. Ya Rasulullah, what is the deen? And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied, Akhlaq. Subhanallah. So any deed, no other deed is being mentioned. Look at the amal. Yes, Islam is full of amal. Then third time he asked the question, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the deen? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Akhlaq. Subhanallah. In other words, on each occasion he asked the question, the same answer is coming. Then he asked again, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the deen? He didn't stop. Fourth time he asked. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he summarized, made it more concise, akhlaq. And he said, anger. Subhanallah. In other words, controlling the anger. So the first thing is that there are two parts to the deen with our Islam, with amal. One is dahiri and one is batini. One is external and one is internal. So here the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he, with regards to the external deed, he linked it to the internal state, because akhlaq is connected to the batini state of a person, the inner state. It's not with his zahiri amal. So what we realize is that zahiri, you can do so many actions. So many times you can have zuhad and other things. But your Islamic piety, the nearness to Allah, the phases of the hereafter, that we can't use our measurement devices for this. It's not our decision. It will be the measurement that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have mentioned. So here, what was the measurement that they said, that they told us, that a person, if he's pious, if he's righteous, if he's a good person, he's a good man, whoever it is, then the basis for that, the measurement for that is that his akhlaq should be good. His akhlaq should be good. Do you understand what is akhlaq? The internal, his state, his batini state, his inner soul, if that is not correct, then it depends, that depends, all of his external ibadah depend on that. Because the objective of all our external deeds are one. Just one objective and no other objective apart from that. One, not even Jannah. Not even being saved from hellfire. We have one objective. that Allah, with this ibadah of mine, may you become pleased. If Allah becomes pleased, then that person, he is achieved. Everything, the objective for every action we do, with every ibadah, every worship action, is that the servant wants to please his Lord Allah. May Allah become happy. So here, Allah Ta'ala indirectly has told us that I'm happy with that person whose akhlaq is good. The person whose akhlaq is on a high level, I'm happy with that person. Why? Because in reality, the dahiri amal that Allah Ta'ala has given, the external deeds have also been given to strengthen the akhlaq, to make it firm and consistent. But that cannot be the measurement stick, the measurement yard. Which salah is the best? The salah, everyone prays salah, the whole masjid is full with musallis. But which musalli is the best? Whose salah will be good? Whose akhlaq is good. Yes, he will speak with manners, he will look over people's defects, he will respect his elders, he will have mercy and love for the youngsters. If there are difficulties, then he won't complain to Allah. If he has distress and sorrow, he won't complain. He'll have sabr, he'll endure, he will always be grateful to Allah, grateful servant to Allah. These things come in a person when his batin is correct. Look at this. When the batin is correct, then the real success is based on the batin. The Jannah will be filled with the muttaqis. And all muttaqis will be those who had good akhlaq. There will be no people without akhlaq. You cannot imagine that he will go into paradise. And that he will reach to a high level. So this is the biggest point. Akhlaq. To develop the akhlaq. Now here in front of us there's a big open playing field we are in. Now how many of us people are on the right level here that we are corrected and improved our akhlaq? How many of us are aware of this or are doing this? Very few of us. Well, if we don't know, I prayed salah, that's enough. Oh, I've done umrah, I'm fine. That's it, yeah, I've done dhikrullah, and that's it, that's good enough, I'm a good person, that's it. But all amal, the result you need to see of all the amal, is that inside me, what change has come about? What improvement has come about? What is improvement? What is change? Improvement and change is that your internal self should have improved. Yes, you can do ibadah 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, worship actions physically. But the reality is that with those ibadah, worship actions, how much inside have you improved? How much has your batin improved, developed? So this is a point that we need to be really concerned about, because we have to go to the hereafter, we have to stand in front of Allah, we have to answer to Allah for all of these things. That you can't do ibadah according to your own desires and wishes. So with this we realize from this hadith, which is such a great hadith, on each answer the Prophet ﷺ saying, improve your akhlaq, that most of all our effort physically, with dhahri imal as well, including that, not that we can just leave them, but all our dhahri amal, our actions, our worship, what we need to do through all of this is that we need to in parallel improve our akhlaq. We need to strengthen it. Another hadith I'll share with you, then easily you'll understand this subject. Easily you'll understand the subject. In the same way, there was a companion, and the companion said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his question was very high. And in the asking and in the response, a person can get the solution, the success. So he said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that please tell me an action that will take me straight into paradise in the best of actions. That there should be nothing restricting me, stopping me going into Jannah. Straight take me into Jannah. And it should be high level, afzal Jannah that I attain. Please tell me such an amal, a great deed that can give me this. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fine. The question was very great. So what was the answer? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, akhlaq and taqwa. Subhanallah. So here, with the question, the answer was akhlaq and taqwa. So a new door the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has opened up for us. There's such a great thing as akhlaq, about which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, we have to try, we need to make effort. Yes, so how does a person attain good akhlaq? What method do we adopt to improve the akhlaq? Akhlaq is an internal state. You can't learn akhlaq from a darul ulum, from a school. You can't buy it from a shop. You can't read about it in a book. They'll inform you these things like I'm informing you. I'm explaining to you. But it's not improving your akhlaq, is it? This is an internal state. Till you don't give them medicine, you can't improve. Somebody's got a cold or a flu. Okay, you'll be cured. Go to a doctor. You'll say, fine, you got a cold. You say, yeah, you got a headache. I know, yes, you've got a headache. Yeah, I found out that your kidneys failed. Oh, yes, I've realized, I've diagnosed that your heart, there's a hole in it. Okay, go away now. So will he be satisfied, the patient? No, he'll say, okay, you've told me the sickness, you've diagnosed it, but now with this, will I die, pass away? Is that it? So the second question will come, and there's a pain in my eye that tell me, please prescribe some medicine for me, write some medicine down for me so I can take it. Same way, so information we can acquire from all these sources that improve your akhlaq, make it better. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told us the path. He told us the path, the akhlaq and taqwa, that if you want to improve your akhlaq, then that is through tazkiyah. Through tazkiyah, through taqwa. Through taqwa. That if you go towards taqwa, then directly the ibadah, where will it go? It will go onto your akhlaq. It will impact on your akhlaq. Taqwa is the definition that inside you, your situation, your state is improved. In other words, that the disease and the sicknesses inside are taken out and replaced with good ones. How? Your akhlaq. So very beautiful statement my Hazrat Sahib said, and I've probably told you this before, but when I read this until now, I keep reading them, when I hear it, I got a lot of satisfaction that there was a complication on this point. That we need to look, we've got our own thoughts and opinions. When a person goes to a wali Allah, then he has his own standard, and we're going, I'll go there, and after that, I will become a wali Allah, I'll become pious, I'll become good, and I'll become a wali Allah. Because this intention is like that we think when we go to a pious person, we're just going to get wazifa, or we're going to get some supernatural learnings from him, or emotionally will improve, etc. Learning something new. Our second question is, that what is a wali Allah? What do they do? What are their amal? What are their deeds? How does a person become a wali Allah? I want to do the same. So Hazrat Sahib's statement was a great statement, a strong statement. So Hazrat Sahib said that when your akhlaq-e razila ends and it becomes akhlaq-e hamida, it's replaced with akhlaq-e hamida, then the wali Allah, the walayat is achieved. This is the sign of walayat. Akhlaq-e razila, in other words, the dirty akhlaq, lying, backbiting, saying wrong things, blaming somebody incorrectly, backbiting at somebody, belittling somebody, breaking somebody's heart. These are all dirty states through which a person is ruined, destroyed. Akhlaq-e razila. So instead of that, you get the ability to forgive or have love and affection, to end the enmity, to bring about friendship. These are akhlaq-e hamida traits. So if akhlaq-e hamida is coming, then this stated, this is walayat, this is called the friendship with Allah. Why? Because walayat is this, that Allah Ta'ala likes you. Allah is happy with you. Yes, the rest is, everything is secondary, that is not related to us. Kashf, karamat, and miracles, and visions. Hindus will demonstrate this to you. They show all of these things. Someone's floating in the air, he's doing this, he's showing magic. Many things magicians will show you. Supernatural things. And Amil will show you, those who have controlled jinns and know black magic, they'll give you friendship with the jinns, you'll speak with them, and they'll be invisible. And is that person a wali Allah? No, these are not the criterion. That you see a jinn, you're speaking with the jinn, he's controlling jinn. Is this a dalil that you're a wali Allah? The jinns say themselves that we are dependent, that you are there with us, you are stronger than us, we are living alongside you. So the human being, when he gets close to Allah, when a human becomes a true human being, is when his akhlaq-i hamida is developed within him. So akhlaq-i hamida is connected to what? To the taqwa of the individual. The taqwa. Now taqwa, if you travel towards taqwa, and strengthen the taqwa, and go on the path to develop your taqwa, then your akhlaq will start to improve and get better. Look, Ramadan has come, and Ramadan is the month of taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Allah says, isn't it? So what changes should come during Ramadan into ourselves? Yes, I've recited this much Quran, I've done itikaf this much. This is not what we can present as successful Ramadan. Taqwa is that after this, after Ramadan, we need proof that definitely Ramadan came to you and you changed and improved. So in our batin, some change should come. Or even if there's a defect, even if it's one defect, it should come out. Then consider that taqwa has come into you. That inside Ramadan's hikmah has come. But Ramadan has only and only come to improve our inner state and to remove the disease and sickness from within us. That's what Ramadan has come for, to improve our state within us, inside us. So two things we learn here is that all of the deen of Islam is dependent on what? The batini state of the human being, his akhlaq. And all the effort that a human being should make, a mu'min, to improve his deen and his Islam should be on what? On his inner state, his batin. He should improve his batin. Doesn't matter how long it takes, but his inner state, his soul, his spirit, he should make it clean and pure and sparkling. So from this hadith, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has given us a great advice that when he said this, and the fourth thing that the Prophet ﷺ said along with akhlaq was anger. Anger. So this is also an excellent message that the Prophet ﷺ gave us. The whole deen is found in akhlaq. And if you want to look after your akhlaq, if you want to improve your akhlaq, then the first thing, the emotion, batini, which is anger, to control that. To control the anger. So in other words, it seems here, we learn here, that the thing that spoils the akhlaq of a human being is one thing inside a person, which is his anger. Anger destroys a person. Anger, why did you murder? I was angry at that time. Why did you fight with that person? I was angry. Why did you do this action? I was angry at that time. Why did you give divorce? I had anger at that time. People are asked, did divorce take place? Why? And many muftis, when you speak to them, there's a divorce in place. Oh, I gave the divorce in anger. He'll say, well, that's when you do give anger, isn't it? Obviously, person doesn't give divorce when he's smiling and laughing with his wife, does he? So that's where the problem lies, that you had anger and you divorced her. Or vice versa. So it's the result of divorce that the anger that the divorce took place. Oh, I murdered. I was angry that time. Obviously, the anger is generated and that will lead to the murder. That's where it will lead to, the end point. So, we have to look at the root cause, that the root cause of all of wrong is the anger inside a human being. Akhlaq, to improve it, first step we need to do. Okay, here, let me explain to you about anger here. So Allah Ta'ala has put this quality inside human beings, and anger is one of those attributes or qualities that a person possesses. So anger was in everybody. All the Sahaba Ikram had anger. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also had anger. Abu Bakr Siddiq had anger. As Umar radiallahu anhu had anger. So if this was a bad thing, then why did Allah Ta'ala instill it into people? That's a question, isn't it? Question mark. So who is it that didn't have anger? But that we hear here, what we realize is that anger is not a bad thing. Anger should be expressed, say subhanallah. So if I say that if I don't have anger inside me, then that's something that half of the human being is devoid. He's devoid. So anger should be there, should be expressed. It should be utilized. It definitely will come. But what's the difference with the anger? Is that anger, how do you utilize the anger? How do you express the anger? How do you demonstrate anger? If you're angry at that time, when a Shariat order is being compromised, or Shariat is being broken, or Shariat is being affected negatively, or Allah and His Rasul, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people are doing something wrong against them, then at that time if anger doesn't come, then that is the biggest crime and kufr of a person at that time. That person, he doesn't have iman. That if somebody is doing something wrong, and that wrong thing, you don't get angry. Allah and His Rasul, somebody is doing something against what they've said, or ordered, or speaking against them, or he's doing a wrong action. If you don't get anger at that time, then that is wrong. That person is wrong. At that time, anger is jais, is permissible. But at that time, anger is there. There should be no differentiation who you're angry with. That you've made a big mistake, the anger will come. And there'll be a punishment for the anger. That the Shariat has given that instruction. Yes, so jais is anger at that time. Anger is jais at that time. So which anger is impermissible? or not jais, that anger which you do on your nafs to take revenge onto people, or for personal gain you have anger against people, or you angry on yourself, or you to satisfy your nafs you become angry, that anger is haram. That anger is haram. So here what we need to see is that how do we utilize anger? How do we express anger? For example, there's a woman who says, I get angry a lot. Why do you get angry, your sister? Oh, my children, I can't stop myself. And women folk, they have this more a problem in the house. That they have this disease that they can't control their anger. And who are they angry on? The children. The children are pestering. Obviously the children will pester. That's their quality. Even the teacher gets angry with the students, isn't it? So here even to be angry with the children is jais for the tarbiyah. But where you see your nafs is overtaking and you're getting angry that he's done this, I don't like that, and you're hitting, that becomes a sin. Remember this. There you have to control yourself. That right now, I'm getting angry due to my own personal qualities or character. That has he done something really wrong against akhlaq, which is not right or accepted in Sharia? Or am I doing it for his tarbiyah and I'm controlling? I have got control that the punishment I've given is for his tarbiyah or her tarbiyah mother. She can have anger on the child and she should. But at that time, just think that am I doing this for the tarbiyah of my child? Or is it due to personal hatred? Am I giving a punishment to my child due to tarbiyah or due to personal enmity? So this becomes a great ibadah if it's done correctly. If a person cannot pray 1,000 tahajjud and get the rule, but that mother gets close to Allah due to this tarbiyah. Allah, that father gets close to Allah and due to this tarbiyah. And that sheikh, due to utilizing in the right way, gets close to Allah. Or the ustad gets close to Allah. The sheikh can also have anger. He also is strict with the thousands of students. And the sheikh, he gets strict. And they're arrogant or stubborn students. Mother and father, they can explain. But the students of the sheikh, the teacher, they are very stubborn, arrogant. Sheikh says, don't do this. And he sees time and time again, the student is doing the same. So will the sheikh not get angry? Of course. That's why I said that sheikh cannot be a sheikh. That if he does not have the soft heartiness and tenderness in him. What a great hadith. Though my mahbub, if you were not tender, soft-hearted, that nobody would stop and stay with you. The greatest quality Allah gave, that you are very tender-hearted and soft-hearted, O my Rasul. And the Shaykh always will be tender-hearted, soft-hearted, gentle. That will be his greatest quality. Otherwise, all the students would run away. That he'd pick up the stick and the murids, they are so spoilt. If he was strict all the time, they'd run away. But his tarbiyah, that's his responsibility. You don't need to, somebody's a donkey or he's a owl or he's an animal or gada. There are thousands of different types of people, but you need to make all of them into ashiks of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You need to take them to the journey to paradise. This is your duty, O Shaykh, Allah ta'ala says. So here, what we learn, that anger is jais. Anger is permissible. It's a great tool and resource, anger. But when? How? If you're using anger for tarbiyah and you've got control, I'm not doing it for my personal gain. Rather, why am I utilizing the anger? So for the sake of Allah and His Rasul, so that he can become a good human being somehow. So you've heard this example before. I'll present this in your service again. That Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajh, that a man, a disbeliever, he was a Yahudi, I think he was a disbeliever at that time. And he came, and I want to wrestle with you, fight with you. I want to fight with you. I want to hit you, he said to Hazrat Ali. Hazrat Ali said, fine, come. Hazrat Ali took the challenge. Fine, come, let's fight, let's wrestle. So I'm ready, he said, okay, come. So people were watching, and he wanted to show he was a palwan, he was like a bodybuilder, wrestler. And Hazrat Ali karamal wajh physically was weak, but spiritually he was the lion. Hazrat Ali karam ala wajh. And this was the quality of Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu. He was called the Lion of Allah. His eyes, his legs was thin, he was weak, but Allah Ta'ala gave him such strength, that nobody had the power, the strength of Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu. So one special quality of Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu. He said, okay, fine, come. You are a wrestler, bodybuilder, everyone's scared of you. Come, then fine, let's wrestle with Ali. See the strength of Ali, who is the beloved of Mustafa, the lion of Mustafa. He said, let's see what he does with you. So he came, and as Ali took one hand and put him down onto the ground. And that the bodybuilder and his wrestler, his students couldn't take it. That with one swift movement of his hand, arm, and as Ali sat on top of his chest, he said, and he took his sword down. He said, what's the issue? That he is the Ghustaki Rasul, disrespectful to the Holy Prophet. He is the enemy of Allah, and he was fighting against the Prophet with me.
And his fight was against Ali and against Allah and his Rasul, not a personal fight. And he was a disbeliever and he did one dirty action while he was about to pass away that he spat on the face of Hazrat Ali Karamallahu. He was close. Soon as he spat on the face, that he knew that I'll do this because I'm about to be wiped away. So Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu immediately his sword, he put it back into the sheath and he stood to the side and he got up. He said, "Get up." He said to him, "You can get up now." Now he wouldn't even get up. He was amazed. What's happening here? Am I right or wrong here? The Mamala, the one man who has overpowered me. I wanted to kill him and I'm underneath him and under his control. And with ease, he just stood up and stood to the side. What's happening? He got up and he said, "Bhai, why didn't you kill me? Why didn't you beat me? That you had the whole control over me. You had the resource. So what happened here? What's the reason? Why did you leave me? Why did you let me off?" As Ali said, that my Islam teaches me this. Subhanallah. He said, "What does it teach you?" He said, "My Shaykh told me this." Subhanallah. That you are his enemy, my Shaykh, you are his enemy. He told me, he said, "What did he teach you?" He said, "My Shaykh told me that anger, when you have anger for the sake of Allah, anger for the sake of Allah, love for the sake of Allah." What a great point. Love should come in between. Who should it be? Allah should be in between. All of your love. If you're angry, why should it come? Because Allah should be in between. He said that you are disrespectful, you dishonored Allah and His Rasul Salam, so I lay you down on the ground and you are about to be done with. But when you were disrespectful, when you spat on me, at that time my nafs then came and contaminated that emotion. See how the Sahaba Karam controlled their emotions. Yes, so tazkiyah that we do when we go to the Wali Allah Shaykh, do tazkiyah, we go to practice this so we can improve ourselves, our conduct. And these are the challenges in our life and tests in our life. We have to overcome these tests and challenges, alhamdulillah. Great tests will come in the life of a human being. And the more challenges and tests there are, barriers, the more darajat Allah will give you in the hereafter. Dunya will pass, the world will pass. But when the human being gets to paradise, Allah will say, "See, the Jannah, and this was not for you, but that time, and when I put you in the test and the challenge and the problems, you had the distress and sorrow, and you used to look at people that look, they're enjoying themselves and they got enjoyment in life, comfort and this and that. And if only at that time you understood that I had so much love for you, so much love for you." Allah says that I made you do ibadah, but it was your ibadah and the test that you had and the barriers you had, that you had sabr and you endured. Because Allah Ta'ala's ibadah are vast. It's not just salah, fasting, Quran. That Allah Ta'ala selects His servant in some way. And the tariq for that is that when Allah Ta'ala selects you, then you should put your hand up. Allah says, "I understand now this ibadah you've given to me, and this ibadah will take me into paradise." If you don't understand, then go and ask a wali Allah, "That is this, how do I do this? Confirm." Nothing to be scared of. And a hadith comes to mind here. I remember this hadith now. There was a companion, or it was the Holy Prophet himself. And there was a woman, and the jinnat used to pester her. Jinnat, and maybe she was overcome by supernatural forces, and she had mirgi, and she used to fall into like a trance or vision, and she went mad, and she came and said, "O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that do dua for me, that I'm overpowered by forces, so that this evil can go away." So he says, "Okay, fine, this is a unique point here. So dua should be done for a person so that his sickness goes. But because sometimes it happens that Allah Ta'ala has written that into that person's destiny for his promotion or advancement, for the rank to be grew. If you want it to go away, then Panadol can take it away as well. Yes, when you're sneezing, Panadol you eat and the sickness goes away. Allah Ta'ala has given a cure for everything in medicine. So sometimes the walis of Allah, they also diagnose and they look into the details. So the Prophet of Allah said, "Yes, you have this sickness, but let me explain something to you. I will raise my hands and your sickness will go away. But there's another point here as well, that if you have sabr and endure the sickness, then the doors of paradise are open for you. If you have sabr, so it's your choice. It's your choice." And the woman, she had understanding, said, "How long? Okay, if I'm cured, how long will I be alive?" She thought. "How long will I be alive in this dunya, bopping around? 10 years more I'll be alive, or 15 years more I'll be alive. And vibrant, strong, maybe 18 years more. Okay, maybe 100 years long. But I have to go back to my Rabb, to my Lord. So what will be my hal then? So hey, I'm getting a guarantee of paradise if I go through this difficulty and hardship." Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So here, she said, "I'm getting a guarantee for paradise here. Guarantee." So instead of the sicknesses and complaining if the cure's there and there's a solution there and the sickness doesn't go away, then raise your hands and understand and put your hands up and give up and say that it's not the cure for the medicine. My disease is not going, or my difficulty, I'm doing dua, the tariqahs I'm being told, and my difficulty or my sickness, I'm doing dua and that solution should come, and do dua for that. But when you're doing dua and the difficulty is not disappearing, you're trying and the difficulty is not disappearing and you're asking somebody to do dua, it's still there. Put your hands up, understand, hey Allah, I've realized. Lies. I've learned today, you've given me a choice now, that yes, we are your beloved, O Allah. We are like this, just like Hazrat Ayyub, you tested him, alayhi salam. As Yusuf, alayhi salam, you tested him. You threw him into the well. How many years he endured and patient, but eventually occurred the dream he saw, that the subhanAllah, that what are the statements that Yusuf, alayhi salam, what did he say? That yes, definitely. The result has come, but the result came out late, but it all came out in my favor. In my favor. So all the tests he gave, I went to jail. He was the Nabi, the Prophet. But Allah, I was grateful to you that Allah, it's you. You've put me through the test and you are the one who'll give the solution. So sometimes when a difficulty comes to a human being, problems come, barriers come, what should a person do? He should realize that through this path Allah has given me advancement, promotion. People go through sujood or salah or sadaqat or via umrah. But me, Allah has given me takleef and difficulty that in the world I have to go through. And this is the test that Allah Ta'ala has such great ni'mas. There's a beautiful dua. Dua Allah, the ni'mas that you take from me, the things, the ni'mas that I like, and Allah in replacement for that give me the high level in paradise. That Allah, the things you take from me, my sleep, my health, or my, the things I desire in the world, all the tests Allah Ta'ala gives, we can't count. All the things we want, Allah Ta'ala takes them, so the servant should accept. Say Allah, that not every person should think that he's doing, I should be the same, he's like this, I should be the same. Everyone is in a different situation. Everybody individually has an individual connection with Allah, unique connection with Allah. And you should strengthen your connection with Allah on the way that Allah Ta'ala has put you. So a person after 100 years, you will go, the person who worships, you'll go. So your daraja will be higher. Your daraja will be higher, but that test and examination Allah gave to you was unique. And you realized your point. That Allah, this is the way that I need to live my life, with patience and endurance. So that woman said, okay, fine, accept it, accept it. So this is the point we need to learn, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Allah ta'ala's pleasure, we should be happy as well with Allah ta'ala's pleasure. So anger, I was just saying to you, as Ali Karam al-Wajhu said, that when you spat on me, at that time, when you dishonored the Prophet and Allah, that I was fighting with you due to, for Allah's sake and the Prophet's sake. But when you spat on me, obviously he's a human being, obviously somebody does this to you, you'll be angry. He said, I was angry at that time. When the anger came, then what did I do? I realized and I got off you. I came off you and I put myself together. I pulled myself together. This is called swallowing the anger. The anger was swallowed at that time. He said that this is what your ustad, your sheikh taught you, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we are enemies with him for nothing. Such a great human being personality. What a small point he's taught you. Such a great teaching that you've implemented such a great deed. And imagine how I'm thinking how great your teacher will be, how great your personality will be. And then he said, Ali, I won't let you go. He said, why? He said, first make me a Muslim. Teach me Islam. How can I be a Muslim and introduce me to your teacher? So this was anger, wasn't it? But the anger, what a beautiful hadith comes to my mind right now. This is a hadith of Ibn Imad in Mishkat. Ah, subhanAllah, great hadith. What is this hadith? In my mind, I repeated myself quickly the hadith. The Ibn Muadh radiallahu anhu, he said that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, subhanAllah, that the human being, he gets angry. Just like Hazrat Ali Karamaloj got angry. Anger always will come to us. As I said, you have come here today, maybe you're angry with many people who come today. Somebody stopped in front of your car, anger. Oh, I was coming out, anger. Oh, I was walking and somebody barged me, anger. So anger means that Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great ni'mah that always the door of paradise is open via anger, used correctly. Every second the door of paradise is open. I'm telling you this hadith, I share this hadith with you. So ajeeb dars today, alhamdulillah, unique dars today, that Jannah, such a great door, that always Allah gives anger to a person. Anger's there, it's within us. Everybody, you could be angry with many people. You could be angry with many people. Look at this point. So what is anger? What is anger? So anger, you become angry and it will come somehow.
But anger, whoever swallows his anger. Yes, what are the words? Whoever swallows his anger, just like a sip of water. So little bit of control, you've controlled yourself. How? And this is why we go to a sheikh, to learn how to control the anger. How to utilize the anger, to learn this point. So that I used to look at Hazrat Sahib, subhanAllah, how gentle, tender, how he would treat the enemies. Enemies were swearing and Hazrat Sahib was smiling. Muridin saying, Hazrat Sahib, give us permission, we can wipe the neck or beat that person. But no, that, so he cannot leave. But Hazrat Sahib would say, what pain have you got? It's between me and him. Just sit down quietly. It's between me and him. Hazrat Sahib would not give the permission to reply. Never would he allow to the response to be given. This is not a drama. Because he learned this from his sheikh. He learned from his sheikh. And he learned from his sheikh. Going back through the generations and centuries, Abu Bakr Siddiq learned from who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, this is how the sanad, this is how the chain, the order in tasawwuf. If you look the sanad I learned from him, from my sheikh, just like the hadith sanad, I learned from him, I heard from him, I heard from him. The hadith sanad goes back through the chain. Yeah, when we give the sanad, the mashaik, when the muhaddithun, I heard from him, I'm him, one hadith, the chain goes back. When the hadith would be mentioned, narrated, maybe right now, try to explain to you, I could explain that when they drank water, or when they ate a date, whenever they did any action, until now the action continues. Why? Because when the Holy Prophet delivered the hadith, then he did the action, then he told the next person, he told me, today the muhaddithin, when they give ijazah to the student, first they say, I heard it like this way, I heard it like this, now I give you the ijazah to do this action. So this is the tradition Islamically. Yeah, the heart, when it meets to the heart, when it meets to the heart and it goes back. And when you share that nur, then you will get the learning. If you don't have that, if you have darkness and you share the darkness, then the shaitan, his teachings will be told. So coming back to the hadith. So when you swallow the anger, it stated the person who swallows his anger, he controls his anger. Thousands of sicknesses he saved from, thousands of millions of sicknesses he saved from, internal maladies, internal diseases. Look, hadith I'll share with you. The person who swallows his anger, first reward of the akhirah, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, the person who overlooks his anger, swallows his anger, the akhirah, the Prophet ﷺ said, that individual, and we're getting this opportunity every day. Somebody cuts you up in the car or parks the wrong way in front of your car. Your anger you'll get. But if you swallow your anger, you'll get this reward. Guaranteed. Imamul Anbiya is giving you the guarantee. Who never said anything wrong. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said anything wrong. Innaka la tukhliful mi'ad. With regards to Allah and His Rasul ﷺ, sadaqna qala. Whatever he spoke was truth and honesty. Sincerity. And Allah Ta'ala said, guaranteed that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he speaks, he doesn't speak out of his own accord, rather it is wahi that he speaks with. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and what a great ni'mah is anger. Do you understand? Today anger is a great ni'mah of Allah. When you get angry, then smile. I heard this hadith in Ramadan from a darvish, and he said the right thing, and I learned that from him. Subhanallah. So every day will happen. Tomorrow, somebody will swear at you, rebuke you, you go to your shop, somebody comes in front of you, he cuts in front of you in the queue, and he pushes you back to get the shopping. What will happen to you first of all? Was anger. And somebody, when they get angry, somebody cries, somebody screams out, somebody swears, somebody talks rubbish. Everybody's expression of anger is different. Child gets angry, what does he do? He cries. When a person older, when he gets angry, he hits. When somebody gets somebody is disrespectful against you, you swear at him. If somebody is more angry, he'll say swear words and immodesty. He'll dishonor somebody. Everyone's got angry. The more persons are dirty, the more dirty is expression of anger. Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. The more dirt, impurity inside, the more dirty and vile his expression will be. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Yes, for example, when you throw a stone or rock at somebody, or you throw mud on somebody, for example, if you're walking on the mud, then if you step into the mud, the more the mud will splash onto you. So when there's dirt inside you, you'll be more happy that person's dirty. And due to him throwing mud on me, I'm not getting any dirt. I will smile and persevere. I'll get Jannah. So the loss is that foolish person who does the wrong actions. So look, a great reward, Allah's Nabi said, that when you're angry and you swallow the anger, the first reward of the akhirah,
That every, in front of everybody, the awliya Allah will be called, the sabakram, the ghost, the kutub, Naqshbandi, Qadri, Chishti, all the pious, righteous people be stood. And what is coming to all of them? All of the people with the high rank, the high status, Allah's Nabi Sallam will call out, oh my servant, oh my colleague, come, I want to see you, I want to see you. And he'll think, what is the action I did? What amal did I do? And he'll look back at the people, the righteous people, maybe it's those people. And the Prophet will say, you, that listen to me, for example, when I call you, oh, and you look back, oh, are you calling somebody else? No, you come here, I'm calling you, subhanAllah. You know that example I'm giving to you in the dunya? So Allah said, don't look left and right over your shoulder. You come, I'm calling you, on the day of resurrection. Me? I'm a sinful person, I'm a severely sinful person. What did I do? Maybe in front of everybody I'll be exposed and I'll be scolded. I told you, don't sing, don't lie, pray Salah on time. Tell me, what will that person do at that time? He will, with hardship, get up with such extreme difficulty and people are looking at me, I'm going to be dishonored, disrespected. And he goes and he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in front of everybody, and the Prophet say that he's my special colleague. In front of everybody I want to give him a special reward. That's why I'm calling him. What action did he do? That he wasn't a monkey at that time. He didn't become a donkey at that time. He controlled himself at that time. With his tongue, he didn't swear, he didn't kill anybody, he didn't dishonor anybody, he didn't disrespect anybody. What did he do? He controlled himself at that time. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is that man that I want to today, in front of all of the pious people, imagine all the pious, if only we get that rank at that time, what is it? And you'll get it, if you implement it, if you do this amal today. If you do this amal today. Today I used to think in the morning, what shall I speak about today? I thought about it today in the morning. I was coming on the way in my mind. I thought, I can't think of what to say, what to discuss. It happens sometimes, you're not in the mood to talk. And my tarbiyat was a bit down, a bit weak today. I thought, what shall we discuss today in front of my friends, my colleagues? What should we discuss today and discuss and gapshap? Because we have gapshap, isn't it? Discuss. I don't give a bayan, speech. So while I was coming, this hadith of Mishkat came in front of me. And while I was thinking, look how this discussion has developed and everyone becomes a jannati. Through this discussion, all of you, mashallah, and such easy will Jannah will become that we all want now, that we get angry so we can persevere. That he swears and I become happy. That somebody dishonors me and I stay happy. There's somebody, he bumps into me and I'm happy at that time. There was one sahab, there was an old masjid. People have enmity in their hearts. And I used to stand to pray Salah and run to free masjid. And out of enmity with dhikr, and due to us doing dhikr, he was enemy with us. And due to that action that I used to do, what action? Dhikrullah. Allah says that my most beloved action is dhikrullah. And that person, he used to dislike the action of dhikr in the first row. And takbir, ikama has been called. And imagine that person, his situation. In the dunya, is expressing his hatred that I don't like dhikr, that Allah Ta'ala likes dhikr, and he's expressing his anger, I dislike it so much. And the person who hosts the dhikr, I used to stand and he used to elbow me like this, elbow me during ikama, astaghfirullah, I won't tell you his name. And I was amazed, this man is doing this? The such a pious man and righteous, and his name is written, may Allah Ta'ala give him Jannah, do dua for that person. But what was his amal? That he used to elbow me. I said, you can elbow me, but I'm making Jannah, isn't it? Yes. So purposely I used to go and stand next to him because I'd read this hadith, subhanAllah. I'd read this hadith that there's no loss to me. So much anger he had inside that I want to elbow him. I want to shove him, push him. So much anger. And his forehead, there'd be creases on it, he'd have anger. Like this. He'd elbow me. I said, subhanAllah. He used to push. So him doing that, and the other person gets angry, isn't it, at that time. So will you slap him back? Why are you pushing me? Why are you elbowing me? Who are you to shove me at this time? But what's the answer coming? SubhanAllah. From what the learning? That today, come, and tomorrow come again, brother. Tomorrow come in front of me, alhamdulillah. Stand next to me. Why? Because mashallah, you are giving me the rank and the high status, mashallah. Do it more. Yes, and he used to purposely stand there. I used to do dua for him. So coming back to the hadith, Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet of Allah will come my colleague, in front of all the people, I want to give him a reward today. And he'll say, oh, I'm going to be exposed today. And the choice he's been given to him, it's your choice. You have the choice. That mashallah, the Holy Prophet has this strength in it. He has the power, the authority. What power did he have? It's your choice. I'll give to you. It's your choice. What do you want? That Allah Ta'ala knows that we are from the dunya. We have just 2-3 desires. That we run for all. I want a wife. I want her to be very beautiful. That's all we want. That's our first choice in the world. I want a beautiful woman. That's the only choice we have. Because Allah knows that we're from the dunya, and we're intoxicated with the beauty of women. That's all we care about. So Allah's Rasul said, it's your choice. He said, is it? Shall I tell you then? He said, yes. Will I get it? He'll say, yes, you'll get it. He said, what will you do? I'll tell you yourself. Forget your selection. I'll tell you yourself. I'll tell you according to your design taste. He said, in Jannah, you see these hoors? Aha. Subhanallah, look at the reward. He said, can you see these hoors in Jannah? The maidens, one on top of one, the husn, top class beauty about which is stated that if one hoor of Jannah, if she glances at the dunya, the whole dunya and the universe will become immersed in her beauty, just through the noor of her beauty. How will we endure? Because we'll become jannati. So we will see those things. We won't stay the same way that we are now. Some Muslim or brothers say that these are stories, decanories. What are you talking about? That our shop, I want business to do dua for that. Don't tell me anything. I'll tell you the honest truth. This is how leave these words, Hazrat, you keep talking about. Oh, we'll see that after when the hoors of Jannah come. We hear about that. Just do dua that my business flourishes. Okay, good turnover. Yes, and Jannah will do dua for that afterwards. Tell me. The thing people say, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, tell all the hoors have stood there and it's your selection. Which hoor do you want to prefer first and foremost? Select. First choice. Second, what a beautiful thing. He said, Allahu, these are the words of the hadith, the Rasul is in Arabic. Mala Allahu qalbahu amanan imanan. Subhanallah. Do you understand the meaning of this? This is the hadith. That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that after this reward lesson, that this is the real reward, O stupid man, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that individual who swallows his anger for the sake of Allah, and he perseveres through difficulties for the sake of Allah, he stated, what is the reward? What is the reward? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person's heart, Allah ta'ala will fill his heart completely. Just like, for example, you fill up a tub with water, it fills it to the brim. You know, like the water bottle to the brim. That his heart, Allah Ta'ala, will fill it completely. Allah Ta'ala will fill it with what? With what will Allah fill it? Amanan imanan. Subhanallah. Allah will fill it with the wealth of iman and sukoon and contentment and peace and satisfaction. Allah will fill his heart. What else do you need after that? This is the question. The human being after such a small deed, and what else does he need? A person whose heart is full with iman, what will be his maqam in the hereafter? What will be a person who has kamil iman, complete faith? It's stated so much that Allah Ta'ala is filling his qalb with iman. But Allah is filling his iman with his heart with iman. Imagine his hal on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection. Tell me his hal. Amazing rank he will have. So with iman, with contentment, with peace, this is a great reward from Allah. So my brothers, today's hadith was a great hadith, alhamdulillah. So we should do amal on this. We should practice on this. First and foremost, where do we start from? I repeat, let me summarize again so we revise this sabak, this lesson. The greatest thing in our deen is what? Say it loudly if you understood it. Akhlaq. Yes, well done, well done. What is it? Akhlaq. And akhlaq, where do you learn akhlaq from? Where do you attain akhlaq from? Taqwa. Taqwa. Where will you get taqwa? From the sohbat al-shaykh, from the company of the teacher. Yes, this is the silsila, isn't it? Yes. And for akhlaq to control, to look after your akhlaq, the topic, the lesson Allah has given, the what do we need to control? So what is the rule of akhlaq? What is? Anger. Anger. MashaAllah. Sabak is strong. Yes, so after today, if anger comes, after anger comes, be sugar and you swallow that anger. The anger will come, but swallow the anger. Small child, if you're angry with the child, swallow the anger. And the mothers are listening who get angry with the children, always make Jannah with your children. MashaAllah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Come, let's do a bit of dhikrullah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina al-Mursaleen. Ya Allah, hum sab ki gunahon ko maaf farma de. Ya Allah, hum sab ki bakhshish farma de. Ya Allah, hum sehat o afiyat naseeb farma. Iman wali sehat naseeb farma. Ya Allah, iman wali sehat naseeb farma. Ya Allah, hamare mareezon ko shifa naseeb farma. Ya Allah, asma mareezon ko shifa naseeb farma. Ya Allah, jo hospitalon mein unko shifa naseeb farma. Ya Allah, afiyat o aaram salamati ke sath Ramzan guzar de. Mere maula, jis maqsad ke tumne Ramzan diya mere maula, us maqsad tak hame pahuncha de. Ae mere Ramzan ke baad bhi baki زندگی ہماری رمضان والی زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. میں نے مولا ذکر و فکر کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے آج جو بھی دعائیں ہم نے مانگی, جو بھی باتیں ہم نے کی, میرے مولا اس پہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزۃ عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین. آمین.